Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/AndyScrolls. Sign up today. If I want your opinion, I'll tell you what it should be.
The only thing higher than Mauricio is me, because I'm literally high right now.
Wait, but spoiler alert, this person is literally high. This is gonna be such a shit show. I just see we've already, let's pretend that it was like a formal pre-recording, whatever, but yeah. We just shot the shit for I swear to God, 3 hours.
We did.
It was a little bit of a therapy session, which I was into.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
And speaking of having it your way, guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 290. So excited to have one of my favorite Bravoholics back on Andy's Girls. You know this person as the culture programs lead at Brex. Welcome back to AG, Daniel Stokes. Daniel, how are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to be here. It's funny, as I sit here smoking a blunt, I remember before the first time we ever recorded, you were like, you know, just like be loose, have a drink if you want. I was like, yeah, I'll probably be high. And you were like, You were, I could tell in your typing how nervous you were. You were like, I mean, yeah, like, sure, but like, don't be like Blaze. And I'm just like, she doesn't know. I do this every day. I am at my best when I'm high.
Wait, okay, I have so many questions for you. Number one, never would I have ever said to have a drink before we're recording. If I said that, I was lying to you, Daniel. I would have lost my mind. If I don't do that, I don't do this. This is a, you know, we're professionals here at AG, she says as she touches dresses directly behind her. Wait, so question for you about pot. Yeah. Because I want, and you guys, it's legal.
Yes,
for legal. Wherever you are. Wherever you are. It's fine. Whatever state, spiritually, it's spiritually legal. What is, do you imbibe in a variety of different forms? Like, do gummy?
Oh, yeah, I do it all.
Tincture? Mm-hmm. Do you?
I love to smoke from like a joint or blonde. That's just like the best of the best for me. But I also just love like popping an edible and then just like going about my day and then, or like if I'm like playing video games or like at the park or like at a club, like, when I go out, it's like I try to do like 3 drinks max and then just like smoke the rest of the night because I can just like
chill.
Yeah.
I just don't. I don't drink a lot. Like I drink sort of rarely. The pot thing, the last time I had pot, is that what the kids are calling it? What are the kids calling it? The green miracle? Okay, great. The last time I had pot, it made me a little stressed out, I think.
I mean, it can be stressful. I think when I first started, there were moments where it was just like, I will never do that again. But like now I've tried so much. I like literally I can just like be so functioning throughout my day. Just like going, I wake up, I have coffee and smoke because it's like my morning routine. Like, and then I just get to work. I know it's wild. I'd be floating in a cloud. I'm like, I am floating, but I'm also being productive.
I'm very into this journey for you. I think I just have a different, I'm a little too, I'm high strung, but I like revel in the high strung of it. I don't know that I necessarily want to relax.
Is that terrible? I get that because I too am like that. And it took me a while to get to like this place. Cause again, there were moments where it was just like, oh my God, I had an edible and I was like hiding under the table. Like they're kind of get me. Like no one's getting you. You're just high.
That is okay. Wait, so I have a Housewives related question for you. Which Housewives franchise is your spiritual blunt? Which Housewives franchise is the franchise that you can watch and it just, even if it's like insanity, it just levels you out? You just are like in the zone. You like it. You crave it. You enjoy the ride, even if it's maybe a little bit of a piece of shit one season or whatever's going on. Is there a show? Is there a franchise that just like kind of
Roni. I only know this because I've tried to do a few rewatches and I've started like Jersey. I know I started Beverly Hills and New York was the only one. Cause I think I had missed a few like seasons when I was in college just cause like, I don't know, I was in college. And so like I knew about them, but I really wanted to go back and like relive them and like see them again. But yeah, Roni, it's just but people tell me an Atlanta rewatch is divine.
Yeah, you know what, honestly, relatively recently I just binged all of them and I've seen Atlanta many times, but like just going through and only watching the reunions was iconic.
Yeah,
because they have honestly a very consistently great reunion cycle, even if you feel a certain way about the season and it's at like a very different scale than other franchises. The reunions are honestly very consistently good. They just know what they're doing. Atlanta,
that's good. What's been your least favorite reunion? Because like
New York, because it didn't happen. My least favorite reunion, I guess maybe some Dallas. There have been some Dallas moments that have been bad. The Melissa Tree stuff when it got really dark is entirely unwatchable, I would say. And also the Marchese season of Jersey, that reunion was pretty terrible. I don't know. I feel like there's some West Coast thing that I can't think of that I'm forgetting. What about you? What's been your least favorite reunion?
My least favorite? I would probably have to say the Dallas reunion because of like them getting COVID and like them being on those TVs. I just felt, and like, I thought there weren't positive discussions that happened. And I saw the trailer for the Salt Lake reunion and I was very much bored.
The trailer for the one that's coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on that because I felt the exact same way. But can I ask you one more quick question about New York before we pivot to SLC? So, you know, you feel like New York is a smooth ride. What was your reaction to the most recent season of New York and the fact that there wasn't a reunion? How did you feel on both counts?
It was like nauseating getting, because I remember like I was behind a few episodes. Mm-hmm. And so like I had binged like five and I think I even like DM'd you like, oh, Ramona, like I had binged like the last couple of episodes. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it was so weird. And then it was just like, Brashan was that was weird, but also I thought it was weird that they didn't show their fight because it's like, were they trying to protect the white woman? Like, it was just so much going on. It like just left a horrible, like, I'm not ready for New York to come back. I need a little bit more time.
What's your dream scenario? If you could say, here is the salve, here is the solution, here is the reparative serum, what would you do to for within New York?
The sad thing is, like, every time people bring this up, my thought process is always like these women are in New York, and like if you take away Sonia, Ramona, Luann, I don't think New York can survive without the three of them, which genuinely sucks because I don't want to see the behavior and the antics just kind of keep getting ignored. But taking a step 10 sides back and out of my body, they make great housewives, they make great TV. I just think, yeah, that's my genuine thought.
What do you think about the Leah of it all? Do you think that that's an answer. Tell me how you really feel. Bad, right? Bad? No Boyne?
What was that? And it sucked because like I was like a Leah like ride or die her first season.
Yeah, she was great.
And something changed. I felt like it was too like, it felt too studied, it felt too rehearsed. Like, I'm sorry. Why are we waiting on you to get glam to go out to dinner? And like that's like, it just didn't feel, it felt like very like, oh, well, I see them do glam on Beverly Hills and everyone likes this, let me do glam. Like, that's not Roni. Like, we don't do that. And like, I felt like she just tried so hard to be so different. And it was just like, it was just a big pivot. And it just didn't feel genuine that second season.
And I feel like that's the difficulty for a lot of these housewives, this new generation of housewives, where some of them have really strong first seasons, and maybe it's because it's coming from a place of fear or like, let's just like have the adventure and we don't know what's going to happen and be our truest selves or whatever that, you know, looks like at that point in time. And then the second season, it's like they studied a book called Here's All the Stuff That We Didn't Do Before, But We Want to Make Sure We're Back for Season 3. It feels very studied in a way that's like, maybe it's unrealistic to feel this way, but it does feel a little disappointing.
It is. And I think it's because like, we do live in that time of like the social medias of it all. Mm-hmm. Like back in the day, like these fights, these arguments, the drama, it was like so real and like not like evil and calculated and like plotted to pump me up for a good season. It's like I just genuinely lived my life, which I actually was thinking this earlier, like, which is why I've loved the Miami reboot. It's like it feels genuine, it feels authentic. There's no like real, it doesn't feel like people are reaching for things. Like, these are moments going on in their lives, like and you know, genuine arguments and friendships that are tested and like not this fake nonsense of like him building a house.
With Miami, I mean, has that been a surprise for you, how the Miami reboot has gone? What were your thoughts going into it? Did you think that rebooting Miami was a good idea to begin with?
Yeah, I loved the idea of rebooting Miami. I have like a special like little place in my heart for Miami because that's where I went to school. So it was just like, I remember when it came out, I was just like, oh, like even like just like the way people talk and like they dress and like Miami is just very Miami. So like there's kind of like a bit of like, oh, like that old home, like but like college, but not. I mean, that was a long time ago. But yeah, I think these women, I mean, I think they should have gotten their faces done a little bit earlier so it settled for filming. Because like during the filming, a lot of them were little, but like confessionals, perfect. It was so funny. I was watching it in back over Christmas with my dad and he was just like yelling at the TV. He was like, what is in their faces? He was like, this is why I love your mom. She's a natural beauty. Like, what are they?
That's so sweet though.
He lasted about 30 minutes. And I think they kept, it was a Lisa heavy episode. So he literally was just like, I'm going to go upstairs and watch Hulu because I can't watch their faces.
I mean, there is that thing of like plastic surgeons at a certain point look a little fakakta because they want to try, seemingly understandably, like you want to try the newest product, the newest procedure before your patients do. But as a result, oftentimes a lot of these like, you know, folks have had a lot of work done. And I would think that if your spouse is a plastic surgeon, you would be surrounded, inundated with the idea of beauty being a surgical possibility, that like there's never not a good time to get tweaked. And yet the counter to that is like Lisa has aged not because of the natural progression of age, natural with an LOL, but just like the amount of stuff that's happened. I think she said since that she's given a little bit of a break, but it's a lot.
Should. And I also wonder how she feels when she's watching the episodes and they do flashbacks to some of the earlier seasons. Because she was a stunning woman before. Like, and it's just like, oh, it kind of makes me uneasy to be like, I could not imagine like getting, like, I'm not opposed to like.
Yeah, do whatever.
Enhance. Of course. But like to the point where it's like, you're unrecognizable. Like it's a completely different, like I could not imagine if like, I just like my eyes, I did a facelift and like couldn't do it.
Yeah. I don't want to know. I'd rather not learn, but the filler of it all just seems like a not great idea. And it's like,
It's like a slippery slope.
It's a slippery slope, but it's like always downhill. I've never seen it on a housewife where I'm like, oh, this person looks great. The only person that's had it, that's been very, well, I guess two people, both on New York. I think that Jill has looked exceptional for years and she would talk about her liquid facelift with Dr. Wexler, Pat Wexler here in New York City, and looks phenomenal. And Ramona looks great, I have to say.
Oh, amazing.
She's a great
amazing.
Dr. Geese. Like, great work. Yeah. But everybody else, I'm like,
well,
I don't know.
Well, Jen from OC was on Watch What Happens Live and they asked her who's like her top five faces.
Oh.
And like, you know, Kenya.
Well, but Kenya hasn't had any work done. I mean, has she?
Well, like she was like, there's definitely like something gone on. Oh, like between okay. like,
well, I mean,
nips, tucks, fillers. Kyle was on there.
Oh yeah, Kyle's work is extraordinary. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like Kyle posts a picture, I'm like,
yeah,
I want your doctor's number because like, 100%. Start now. Yeah. Start preserving this now because Kyle Richards, that face. Just like, oh, it's beautiful. It's a work of art. Work of
Absolute.
Art. I forget what else she said, but yeah, I mean, I think Kyle and Luann also aging.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Lou.
Beautifully. Like, oh.
The women on New York get it. I guess, and I guess also like it. LA-based, Beverly Hills folks get it.
Yeah. Yeah, because like they're around it, but some of these people. But Miami's Miami. It's all like, yeah. Plump, plump, plump. Like, they've all had work done.
Did you have any concerns about who they had asked back and who they had not before the reboot started? Were you like nervous about person X or Y returning, or feeling like, oh, I wish they got somebody else? Like, what were your thoughts about the casting?
No, I was excited. I think, you know, the Adriana and Marisol of it all, like, they're still heavily featured. Mm-hmm. I think they have brought a lot of like great dynamics and storylines and fun confessionals. So it's like, I like that Peacock did that. I'm very interested to see like what Peacock starts doing, because I feel like Peacock is listening to the fans more than like Bravo.
Oh.
And it's just like, I think I saw like Demois, like allegedly, that like that the Miami reboot and like Ultimate Girls Trip got like so many like positive reviews and like streams that like Peacock is actually starting to look at like some other cities of doing housewives shows in that people have been like dying to see, and like more like housewife type spinoff shows to like just like get that Bravo viewership over to Peacock.
And how do you feel about the tiers of viewing, or do you not feel that at all? That like there's Peacock, which is like aired on Bravo maybe way later after it's been re-aired,
yeah,
but they still can technically say it airs on Bravo, but it's a different thing. It's like an app exclusive. Like, do you think that hurts in any way the Housewives brand, or does it act as more of an opportunity to explore?
I think it acts as an opportunity. I think it was risky at first, but I think because of the success that this is just going to open up the opportunities, open up. Because it's like, you know, think about it, there's so many housewife legends, Bravo celebrities in general, who we've loved and adored, and maybe like them coming back to have their own show,
yes,
isn't something, but maybe it's just like, you know, kind of like American Horror Story, like each season is its own little pocket. Like, maybe it's like you wanted to see a show that just features Heather Dubrow's family, mm-hmm, and it's like digging it with the Dubrows, and it's just 8-season arc of just that family, because mm-hmm, I love seeing Heather with her family, but like maybe another type of family, like Phaedra and her sons, like just like different types of stuff like that. Like, I think that's what Peacock is going to start doing. And I'm excited because we're just going to be continuously fed with Bravo related content.
Do you think there's ever a point where you would find yourself exhausted by it? Like, is there ever a point for you where you're like, this is too much? Like, what if they did do like a Phaedra represents the law, and then like LVP walks her dogs, and then, you know, yada, yada, yada. Is there ever a point where you're like, I could see myself saying this is too much, or you, a person who just really appreciates all the different iterations of housewife storytelling?
All good things come to an end. Mm-hmm. So like nothing can sustain forever. So when that time comes, it'll happen. I don't know when. It's definitely not happening tomorrow, or like in the next 6 years. But like, you know, when it happens, it happens.
Pivoting a little bit to the finale that just took place, I'm curious for your thoughts. You referenced that you didn't really die for the reunion trailer. I want to start there and then work back. What was your expect? Did you have like high expectations for the reunion trailer, and how did you really receive the experience of watching?
I am an unapologetic Mary M. Cosby stan. I am sorry.
Oh, no, I'm sorry for you. No, I'm sorry that she's not going to be there. That sucks.
I tell you, my friends always make fun of me because they're just like, we know you love Mary. I
love that journey for you. I love that
Mary M. Cosby is just like I'm an oddball. Like, I'm not saying that in a negative way, but like I'm a very odd individual, and like I love myself. And Mary M. Cosby is like, she's not playing up for the cameras. She is just herself. Mm-hmm. And like the one-liners, the stare, like it is just, it feels like home. As someone who truly authentically lives them. I don't know if it's the weed, because I am literally speaking philosophical about
this.
Mary.
No, I love this.
I
you're in the right place. You're in the right
like,
place.
And know that like she's not coming back. Like, I'm not manifesting that. I'm hoping that like they're halfway through season 3 filming, they're like, we got to bring her back. Like, this is not doing it. And then like it happens and she gets some epic walk in where she's like in slow motion, like, well, Jesus called. That's it.
I mean, I could honestly see her coming back for season four. I know that might sound insane to people, but I absolutely could see it happening, especially since Jenny won't be there anymore.
She was, and it's, oh, don't even get me started on that one. It's so funny. Someone tweeted me, asked me, do you think the reason why, like, because like, when Jenny and Mary had that first little fight, it seemed very random. Mm-hmm. Someone was just like, as a Black person, would you say you automatically notice microaggressions? And I'm like, yes, it's yes. Like, and they were like, I don't want them to sound ignorant. I just really want to know. And I was like, but like, do you think something had gone on behind the scenes or things had gone on behind the scenes where maybe Jenny was being that type of person towards Mary? And that's why they had that big blow up. Cause like, you could tell from day one, Mary was never feeling it. So it's like, there could have been something that happened. I was like, potentially. And I was just like, and like, yes, Mary has said and done a lot of dumbass shit. Not forgivable. I mean, like, you learn from it, but she's apologized. Mm-hmm. But like, I have been in that position before where you feel like as the only Black person, there are all these things happening. So like, I guess as a human being, I empathize with her. Of course, I wouldn't want to go to this reunion where I know I'm about to get shit on, called a predator, talked about, you know, my marriage and be beaten. This woman threw a glass at her and people were like, I don't care. I'm sorry when Jen threw the glass. It was like, oh my God. But like, Jenny throws a glass at someone's foot with the intention of probably hitting her. Someone who was not even talking to her. Like, girl, like when she just got, like, she was talking to Whitney. And I was just like, oh, ugh. Sorry, that was a rant, but it was just like, I watched it earlier today and I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, so yes, I feel bad for Mary and I understand why she did what she did. And I think like, and yes, not going to the reunion is a big no-no and it should not be something that like people should feel comfortable. Well, I'm just not going to come to the reunion and get rewarded for it. But I think in this situation, given the fact that there was a blatantly racist cast member on this cast who mm-hmm. was always towards Black cast member or Meredith for supporting said Black cast member. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we got to kind of take a look at everything in this scenario and think like it would only feel right, at least from this, in this one situation, to invite her back. Like, maybe it's just in a friend of capacity, but like, she's also made great TV.
I watched the majority of the after show before we started recording, and there's some lines in there. You know, the after show comes out the morning, typically the morning after the newest episode. And I just thought to myself, Bravo is absolutely fucked with this reunion, because I have said repeatedly how I didn't understand if they didn't do some sort of re-edit to the reunion in light of the reveal of Jenny's long professed essentially obsession with anti-blackness.
She's
is what it
like,
is. She really, it seems to be a little bit of her sweet spot. And even on the after show, which went out today, which could have easily been re-edited, unless they're trying to make some kind of fucking point, but they're not being explicit, which is kind of their thing. There's some one-off line that Jenny has about how unacceptable Mary's like racial intolerance or something is. It's not the phrase. No. I'm not quoting it. It's not a direct quote, but some sort of heavy implication that that Mary needs to work on her lack of sensitivity toward racial awareness. And I just couldn't, but it was like a 15 second thing, and then it went into a moment that Mary was talking about, and I just thought, like, you couldn't remove that. What is the point of leaving this shit and continuing a narrative to allow this woman to say these things about the only Black cast member on Salt Lake? It's unacceptable to me.
Even to this, up to this reunion, that reunion, this season ending, I'm shocked that there was not a re-edit. There was, I mean, like, I'm very interested to see how this reunion is going to go. Like, is she going to get her usual, like, well, Jenny just joined and she's got a funny daughter. Like what is, like, what's going on there? Like,
yeah, she's going to get like a sweet, adorable, this woman is like a lot of fun and we get to see her family. I mean, how could they not have that to a certain extent? Because we didn't have the, I don't know how that they would, well, yeah, there is a way that they could edit it around not having maybe a clip package for her, but why is this fucking thing three parts? It should be two max.
Two max. Like,
that is really concerning to me.
Yeah. Like, I mean, do you think they're going to have this, like, recorded sit-down air at the top of... Like, I feel like they probably had a recorded sit-down with Jenny for season three. Like...
Oh, you mean like they were filming, having some sort of confrontation that might be a part of it?
Yeah.
It's possible. I think that they recorded as much as they possibly could and then she was fired. And will they include it at a certain point? I don't necessarily know why they would if it's about like holding someone accountable who was then fired.
Yeah.
I don't know that I necessarily see it. I'm honestly just more concerned with the fact that the reunion trailer to me felt like such a sleeper. And then I watched the finale and I was like, this is incredibly dumb. Like, it just felt stupid. Like, the Jenny stuff was so performative and executed so poorly. I just looked at her and I was like, she thinks we don't think she's a clown, but she's 100% clowning herself, getting herself like hyped up to come at Mary because she thinks that this is her new arc. Little does she know she's going to be fired before this episode airs. It just felt like nothing. And the fact that Mary even said on the after show that nobody went after her to see if she was okay. The only person who did was Seth, who then was making weird jokes about like who threw a glass better, like Jen or Jenny. Like, what even was that? If you guys are pretending that you care about cast members, how could you not go after the person who's an alum in your cast and even for the cameras alone check to make sure she's okay?
Exactly. Like,
why is Jenny's feelings the only one that matters and also the only ones that are easy to forgive? Like, in what world does that make any sense?
I'm very interested to see where they go with this franchise for the season three and beyond.
I mean, how do you feel about it? What's like your temperature check on this right now? Be complete. I mean, obviously, be honest. That's where you are. But
I mean, there's a lot of things. Like, first, like, Tinsha, girl. I think she's going to jail.
I mean, I don't think she's going to jail. I think she's going to prison. I think she's going to, you know, big kids camp. I don't think this is jail. I think this is...
This morning when I was taking a shower, like, genuinely thinking this, I was just like, well, I wonder if they'll try to get, like, season three and four out of Jen before she goes to jail. Because usually, like, her trial's in March, and it'll go on until whatever, then sentencing, they'd be like, we have to report to, like, duty before, like, 6 months from now. They could technically film... two seasons. So I was thinking that. So that's going to be interesting. I am also a Team Lisa Barlow Baby Gorgeous stan. And I do not like what they are doing to my girl over there in Salt Lake. I am pissed. Like, they are piling on top of her. Little bad weather. Women. When Mary Cosby said that as Whitney's drunk ass walked away. Like, she is, like, Whitney, stop, performative, like, rehearsed, like, trying to make moments. Girl, you're in debt. Isn't your husband, like, charged with, like,
I read it on paper, and that paper is called the internet. So like, I think there's been questions around some sort of weird MLM style business structure that he has, but I truly don't have enough information. But yeah, she, it has been a little bit of a wild journey to watch. I mean, what do you feel about the, status of Meredith and Lisa, let alone Lisa and Heather and Whitney, who obviously don't like each other, but Meredith and Lisa, this is a significant families entwined, long-term trust and love and affection friendship that we're watching essentially burn itself to the ground.
What's your reaction to that? It's always so sad when friends, wives, and like their friendship ends. Because it's like, they're genuine friends. Like, we all, I remember when the trailer came out, we're like, I can't even tell them apart. They were like the same.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
But I get where Lisa's coming from in the sense of like, Lisa's a loyal person. She wants to be friends with both Jen and Meredith. And they both were putting her in a very awkward position. And Meredith was awkwardly standing up for Mary more than she was standing up for her friend Lisa, which I don't know why, but it just, I get why Lisa felt the way that she did, because she was trying to like, not straddle the fence, but just be neutral in both parties' lives and support her friends. But they both made it very hard for her. And she had a breaking point. The mic'd moment, like, I don't think you can recover from that. I don't think, like, if that was me, like, if I were Meredith and that Lisa was my friend, I don't think I could ever look at her again. Because she said a lot of stuff.
And this is, like, a seemingly obvious question, but, like, do you think that she felt that way? Like, what do you think was going on in Lisa's mind as she was saying those things in the bathroom in Zion? Like, do you think that she was venting? Do you think that she was a buildup of feelings that she had? What did you think was going on at that point?
I have never been on a reality show. And, like, I've never been mic'd before. But, like, people say you just forget. Like, even with, like, Big Brother, like, you're being recorded 24/7. Like, we see everything you say. So to say something to that level, there was no stutter. There was no mutter. Mm-hmm. Everything she uttered flowed like water from a vase or vessel. Like, she said what she said. Meant what, like, that, those were deep rooted feelings and emotions. She has thought those thoughts before. She has said those things in bed with John before turning off the bedside table lamp. Those were her thoughts. And I think we're going to see a different side of Meredith next season, because she did threaten as she left that party, oh, these girls, I see the game these girls want to play. Whitney asking her about her dad, like, girl, if you ask me about my dead daddy one more time, appropriate to what? Like, it's not, no. Why aren't we talking to the one who's being charged with fraud about her fraud?
And I get them not, like, wanting to go near that. But on the flip side, it seems like they don't want to test Jen because they're, in some ways, they're just honestly, genuinely gut instinct afraid of Jen. They're afraid of what Jen's going to say. I think that they're afraid of Jen's temper. They don't want to, like, you know, get in the mix with that. But I would argue if this person has just been arrested by the federal authorities, charged with a series of long-running, you know, crimes, fraud, yada, 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 why are you afraid of them? It's like when your parents tell you that the monsters you're afraid of under your bed aren't real. Like, the federal government turned on the lights,
yeah,
and told you not to be afraid of this person anymore because it's all a mirage. So why are you still giving them all the power? Like, from the friendship circle perspective, but also production, you look dumb by focusing on Meredith's literally dead father and when she held a Shiva or whatnot. Like, you're not raising basic questions, asking basic questions of Jen. Why? Like, yeah, the lights are on. The federal government turned on the lights.
Yeah.
Why are you still afraid?
Yeah. And that's why I'm, like, interested to see, like, who are these new people we're going to bring in to season three? I need someone to hold them accountable.
Jen accountable.
Like, let's talk about it. Like, because, I mean, again, it's going to be heavily featured on that season because her court date's in March. But, like, let's talk about it. Like, I need Meredith to engage. I need, like, I need them to get a witness on camera in a parking lot. Like, someone who was defrauded. Like, everything.
I mean, and yet what they were doing after Mary quit was Jen and Heather seen filming outside of Mary's church with, like, allegedly somebody connected to it, you know, doing a little filming afternoon, which on the heels of all of the feedback that surely the audience has been pretty consistent about regarding the real lack of fortitude with talking about the Jen stuff, to focus on the cast member who just quit is just such a weird take to me. Like, you didn't do this while she was there.
Yeah.
Why are you doing it now?
And it's like, I literally, like, again, Mary Cosby stan account here. Like, I will get into a Twitter fight with someone over Mary. like, definitely would. I keep my tweets on private. It sucks because I want to be free, but like, I think the rodents will attack
you. Can't do it.
But like, when I saw that, I was just like, rodents. This woman come to the reunion because she's fed up with y'all. Mm-hmm. We just found out that the person that she got into the most arguments with and was attacked by is racist. Like, not just like baby racist, like full blown. Like,
yeah, no, she's varsity. Yeah, she made the team. She made the team.
Yes, yeah. Like Olympic level. Racist. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you're gonna go connect with like a family member of hers who's probably estranged to make her your storyline when she's not even there. And that's why I want my bitch to come back and have a little moment like, I'm back. Like, I already see the montage. It's gonna be the hat mannequins, like, in slow motion. She's gonna be like walking through her gaudy house in some gaudy outfit, and it's just gonna be like, and she's gonna be like, hello.
Do you really think that she, I could see it. I could see her coming back, honestly, like season four, but do you really think it's gonna happen? Do you really think that Mary, don't you think Mary is like, this is dumb, like I'm good, like you guys suck?
No.
Do you really think she's gonna come back? I really think there's a possibility?
I'm manifesting. Listen, I'm not okay. I want it so bad. I'm gonna be sad. Like, I'm like, it makes me sad that she's gone. Like, I'm like legit sad. I'm not gonna cry, but like, I'm mad.
Oh. I hear you. She was such a wild and different, unique character, someone we won't see, a once in a generation style wild housewife.
Like the person you're rooting for on Project Runway, like, doesn't make it to New York Fashion Week. That's what it feels like.
And she knows herself some fashions.
She does. Oh gosh, Mary, I love you.
Is there something that you would love to manifest seeing at the reunion itself? Do you have any hope there at all, or are you just pretty much kind of checked out?
I want to know what the defined relationships are going into season three. Obviously, we know Heather has no backbone, so we'll always and forever be Chin's bitch. Whitney, I mean, is Wild Rose Beauty doing anything? Whatever. I think I would love to see Lisa bring on another friend, because I feel like Lisa's going to be like the most ostracized. Mm-hmm. I feel like Meredith is going to be smart and be cordially friendly with Jen, because I don't think she wants to let out that beast of Jen, like that frightness. But I don't know where Meredith stands with the other women. I'm confused by that.
Yeah, I don't know who's more ostracized or would be by the end of the reunion, Lisa
or Meredith.
I genuinely, even me saying that out loud, I'm like, that's such a weird thing for me to say out loud, like, just in terms of what's actually going on with these women IRL. And yet that's where we find ourselves. I really don't know the answer.
Which is crazy. And it like, you know, I mean, even in the trailer, she says, like, I feel like you're piling on. And like, clearly, I think what we heard was that they played that clip of Meredith's, I mean, her mic rant, but they found it like the night before reunion. And like, right. I cannot wait to see that moment, because like that's some raw shit that happened. Can I curse? I don't know if I can.
Of course. Okay. Yeah, whomever, whatever. Yeah, you surely can.
But like, I can't imagine being Lisa and seeing that, and like the person being right there, and like that person, like, oh, you can't come back from that. There's no friendship after that.
And that you would think would be the heart of this reunion cycle. And I'm just not sure. For some reason, that reunion trailer just got me a little, I just was like a little hesitant after watching it, where I'm like, obviously nobody really knew that Mary was going to cancel so soon before the reunion. Or maybe there was the thought that this might happen, but people were hoping for the best. But it does feel like there's a giant hole in it. And yet there is so much that's going on that could lead to a great reunion. Maybe it was just like, maybe for me, it was just the first, you know, at bat, knowing that Mary wasn't there. And so the energy, the like friction that I was hoping to see, the connectivity or disconnection between the cast wasn't really there because an important part of this season was missing. But like, maybe there's still the possibility to really have like strong moments.
I mean, I think before Mary not going, I would have seen season three, it's Meredith and Mary together, Lisa's by herself, and then Jen, Heather, and Whitney are on their own team. Mm-hmm. And then like maybe they'd bring someone in for Lisa, or they'd, you know, kind of do like what they've done on Jersey before and just like just shit on her. Like
well, I mean, I think Lisa's person was Jenny. Jenny's the one that she's filming with on the after show. Forget her. Yeah, it's fine. I wish she was forgettable. Like, well, she kind of is. But there is there is this kind of alliance that's taken place between them, which is, you know, it is what it is. It's, I would think, of a little awkward of a feeling for Lisa, who... Yeah. Bonded with this person, knew them before the show, and is now in a position where she's like, wow, they just got publicly fired.
Yeah.
Where does that leave me? Like, I don't have an answer to that.
Even like, didn't she bring Angie on also?
Yeah, and Angie turned on her too. Well, not that Jenny turned on her, but Angie turned on her, yeah.
So it's just like, which like, oh, poor Angie. Like, I'm sorry, that moment just fell flat. Like, it was like, wah. But like,
she really tried. She really tried.
Like someone even said, like, just bring Angie back. And it's just like, I mean, that would just be foul, I think. Unless her and Lisa, like, squashed it and, like, I don't know. I love Lisa Barlow, and it makes me sad knowing that, like, baby girl's going through it. Baby Gorgeous is going through it. And, like, it doesn't look like it's going to be a good reunion. It's going to be a good reunion for her because she is iconic and people love her.
She really is iconic.
She's, like, I think just her style is so fresh and classic. Like, she does not try hard, but she just has great pieces where she can just have like a crazy jacket and like a basic tank and jean and like funky shoe. Like, just, I just love her, but like I feel like it's going to be bad in the sense that like it's going to be rough for her because it seems like the girls are going to use that moment to just absolutely tear her apart.
And you know what? At a certain point, I kind of just want Heather and Whitney to get over it. There are bigger fish to fry than when Meredith's dad was laid to rest or whatever, and what is going on with Lisa and Meredith, which does not concern them. They should be, if they're such good friends with Jen Shaw, they should be concerning themselves with the fact that the person that they have stood for or they're standing for now is maybe like a super successful criminal. Where's the ethical, right? Like, we're talking about like, wow, Meredith really lied to us because maybe she got the dates wrong or we got the dates wrong about like this thing taking place where she's mourning her dead father. Like, where is the same level, an equal level of energy to asking what happened with someone's funeral arrangements for their recently deceased parent? Why aren't we having just even that equal energy on the fact that maybe your friend lied to you? Like, you don't even have to hold them accountable if you don't want to at this point. Just say out loud, maybe this person lied to me, because you seem to care a lot about it when it concerns Meredith's deceased father. But why aren't you equaling that energy to a decade-long FBI investigation about this woman running a fraud?
Who's like the only person who's not pled guilty.
Who's the only person that's not pled guilty? And yet you guys are filming at Mary's church for what? Because we're pretending that you thought she was around and you could pop in and say hi? Like,
yeah.
Come on. How did that work for you last season? You guys got shit on a little bit. Like, these are smart women, and it's the new generation of housewives, and it's either, I don't know, the cognitive dissonance around not reading the room or just believing that you have a great idea. I don't know where the housewife ideas begin and like production ideas, or the where the housewife ideas end and production ideas begin.
Yeah.
It just feels incredibly convoluted while you're dealing with the single most criminal action a housewife, not housewife spouse, but a housewife has ever been accused of. And we're swinging by Mary's church to see what God's got cooking. Like, what are we doing? This is not it. This is not. You have a superstar narrative in front of you. You will never get, I hope, for all of the benefit of future victims, I hope you will not have a narrative like this to deal with again. So, I mean, in the words of Summer House, you need to activate. Like, we need to see you activated. Stop disengaging.
When do you, like, obviously there's different types of crimes.
Okay.
Like,
I don't even know which crimes you're talking about. Jen's,
well,
obviously.
Well, no, like crimes in like a broad term. Like, there's lots of
crimes. Oh, love a broad term. Love, yeah, there's a spectrum. Yep, there's a rainbow. The rainbow connection of crime. Yep,
I'm just,
yep,
like, I get making anxious of, like, we've had a lot of crimes. And, like, what if there's a worse crime?
Then Jen's?
Yes.
Of course there will be a worse crime. We're just getting started. These are the kind of people who are coming to Housewives. The people, because the reality is that people can't afford to look as rich as they believe they need to appear to be on Housewives. People with legitimate streams of income, which seems to be an incredibly small group of people, are 1%. Probably not... Right, like, and that's like the 1% of the 1%. Yeah. Are probably not going to be interested in going on this kind of show and having people try to start to figure out where the money came from.
Exactly.
So the people who are narcissistic enough, and God bless them.
We love doing, you.
We love doing the Lord's work. But the people who are going to be interested in showing off their wealth are often people who have very complicated actual sources of where this stands from. So, like, the Jen being the biggest criminal to me isn't the beginning of the end. It's the end of the beginning. Like, it's she got her Hulu doc. She wasn't the first, but she got her own, like, little whatever the fuck. I think it was Hulu.
Yeah.
Like, she got her own, like, crimes be crime in, but she's not going to be the first person to do this. She's not even the first housewife to potentially go to federal prison. Like, she can't even say she's the OG.
Do you think she's going to go away for a long time?
I think it doesn't look great for her that the people who've pled out have received what I would consider significant prison sentences. If you plead out and you're doing several years in prison, it seems like everybody's building up to having a ton of evidence against this person who, I don't know. I cannot believe that Coach Shaw is participating in the reunion, but I get it in terms of this being a source of income. But, like,
do you think he knew?
I don't. Here's the problem here, yeah, is that we've all seen
let's
that.
Lean,
clip.
Let's lean in. Let's lean in.
We're leaning into the screens right now, guys. We're getting serious on this Zoom. Here's the problem here is that we've all seen that clip over and over again, which they'll use until the end of time, of Heather saying, from the first reunion of Heather saying, I never understood where their money came from, but we went to One Oak, whatever the fuck it's called, and she had a VIP section, and I was like, well, I don't understand how you're making it, but you're doing great. I don't understand how a former, or maybe he might still have his law license.
Yeah.
My guess is that he does. Lawyer does not know the source of his wife's income when he is seeing her spend an exorbitant amount of money, which doesn't mean that he believed that she was committing a crime. But I would think if you didn't know this, but did see your wife spending a ton of money, if she gets arrested and you guys, like, sort of knew it was coming because of all of the other arrests, like, this really wasn't, there's, like, a history here. But, like, you see her get arrested, or you hear that she's been arrested, or you're alerting her, she's getting, whatever happens, happens. I would think a light would go off. That, okay, this makes sense,
yeah,
in terms of now I understand the source of the income. But I don't know. I don't know if when he is – I understand why he's telling her he believes her because they're on camera.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he actually believes it. Do you believe it when he says that he trusts her?
Coach Shaw needs to go to acting school because I mean, from the first interaction on camera where he was just like, I'm with you, baby. I believe you. And then, like, the holy Popeyes dinner. I mean, listen, I love me some Popeyes. Their new mac and cheese, great. But it is so good. I got high the other day and ordered, like, 2 tubs of it.
I love this. I love this journey for you.
I don't know. I don't know. Black man to black man. I don't know, Coach Da. Like, I don't know. It don't look safe. Get out.
What's your Coach Shaw pep talk? If you had Coach Shaw in front of you, what would you, you know, we used to love those pep talks that he would give Jen and everybody. I wanted to get one for AG. I forgot to ask, and now I think it's too late. What would your pep talk to Coach Shaw be? What would you say to him if he was in front of you right now?
Like, Sharif, come on, sit down. Come on. Okay, Sharif. I know she is the mother of your 2 very handsome sons. And you probably really love this woman because you've been married to her and she's crazy, but she seems to be a good wife. But my brother, this don't look good. And I'm scared you might go down with it. So I think you need to cut your losses and maybe, like, you know, you're young, you're a nice looking young man. You know, she's gonna be in prison for a long time. So, like, you know, get on Raya. Or like, okay, Cupid, like, it's gonna be rough, but yeah, nah. I mean, yeah, and scene.
Okay, can I ask you an impossible question?
Go for it.
So there obviously has been a discussion point of the fact that Jen Shaw has been engaging in some sort of extracurricular activities.
Yes!
With some gentleman people. Do you think that Coach Shaw had any idea? Do you think that they have some sort of agreement? Or was it like old school classical music, like Beethoven style cheating?
I'm trying to figure that out. Season 1, mm-hmm. I would have told you that Coach Shaw was cheating on Jen for sure. And Jen was not cheating on Coach Shaw. Just because, like, my friends and I would joke and be like, ooh, she's crazy. You can tell he can't stand her. And plus, he was always traveling for work. So it's like, perfect, new city, new kitty, you know.
Oh my God.
You know.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you.
But in this season, well, first of all, it seems like everyone in Salt Lake has been fucking someone that was not their husband.
God bless them.
Everyone's doing it. Like, I mean, I need Meredith to tell the names of everyone that I've, like, spread it. I want season 3 to be messy. So tell us, Meredith, because these girls were mean as fuck to you over your dead fathers. Yes, her father was dead because he died, and there was a memorial because guess what? Uh-huh. He died. Yet,
literally,
criminal suspect number 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fraud.
Main conspirator.
The fraud queen. Like, he's running a matrix of fraud. Whose mother took out, like,
retired teacher, her literally the nest egg or survival that she had been saving toward her entire life, taken away by her child. But, you know, the interesting thing with the Jen stuff, there are seemingly so many similarities to me with Jen Aiden in the sense of Jen Aiden doing her very best to find out information about Margaret or Jackie, whomever, cheating, yada, yada. Jen Shaw seems very focused on talking about alleged infidelity that Meredith has engaged in, noting, by the way, that Meredith and Seth were separated. So, like, who even knows if that's technically infidelity?
Exactly.
If it happened during the time of their separation. But, like, regardless, Jen has been dropping in those little pearls of wisdom, you know, grains of truth, like little bits of gossip since the first season, specifically about Meredith. And I don't know, people who are talking that much about it, are they doing that because they know they have something to hide and they don't want to be the first person with a cheating scandal?
Exactly. I mean, that would be, he seems like an amazing, like, husband and, like, amazing man. I mean, like, he could be shit, though. I mean, it's TV.
Yeah, you never know what goes on.
Yeah. But it's just like, I mean, that in itself, I mean, even the implication when Heather, first of all, Heather, I'm sorry, but if I get my friend an Uber, said Uber stops and then my friend goes elsewhere off the grid, I'm not just going to like be like, oh, that's just Jen being Jen. No. I'm calling you. I'm texting you.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, why'd you get out of the Uber? Huh? Hi. Why are you ignoring me? Like, FaceTime me. Who are you with? That is because, first of all, like, if that's your friend, why is your friend like, what? No.
Stranger danger. That's like rule number one.
Like, that's just weird to me. I don't know what Jen has on Heather. It has to be something big. Like, is Beauty Laser Lab like injecting people with like cement? Like, because no one should be like that much of someone's lap dog. It's disgusting. It actually makes me sad. Because Heather, like, she's a good time gal. She's fun. But like, I think she just feels, I don't know why she feels so indebted to Jen Shah. She said you looked like Shrek.
She said she looked like a manatee. Like, where's the... and then Jen tries to come for them during the reunion trailer saying, like, you're not good enough friends. And I'm grateful that Heather in that moment was like, literally, what are you talking about? I'm still here to support you after you absolutely repeatedly shat on me. Yeah. Like, I'm glad that she said it because someone needed to. And it's just a really... It's an uncomfortable look. I wish Heather valued herself more. Yeah. I think that there's a lot going on and some of it is not production related, but maybe related to how she sees herself on this show. Like, I think she's someone who forgives people easily in life and maybe takes it to another level in this like friendship circle in quotes. I don't know. I wish she, I don't know. I wish
it
there makes, was.
It's sad. It's sad.
Yeah, I think that there's a difference between forgiving someone for yourself and your own journey and riding so fucking hard for them.
Oh, she's like, she's riding so her like it's a man. That's it.
I mean,
that's
God it. Bless her. It's God like, bless her. God bless.
She's
big
riding
third that. Date energy. Big third date energy in that friendship. And it's like, we, you know, I just wish Heather put as much effort into standing up for herself. I mean, there is something about, you know, she has the right to forgive as best she can, but it does feel like some of that forgiveness is attached to the idea that she doesn't want this person to say those things about her again.
Yeah.
And the best way to get through it is to forgive. And that just feels to me like a really uneven style friendship.
Yeah, it's not the way you want to live. Like, she needs to invest time in like herself and like finding better hair extensions.
Oh my God, on that note, are we ending on hair? Listen, I die for you. I could talk to you forever. This was an SLC specific finale extravaganza, but I need to have you back before the end of Orange County and NJ because I feel like there's a lot going on there with those other places.
I caught up with everything the last 2 days and like I was just like, we're being fed like... We're being fed, and like I'm not mad. The hate that OC is getting, I don't get it. I'm enjoying it.
Wait, hate right now? People are upset about this season?
OC. People are saying OC was boring this season.
Oh, I don't feel that. I could see it honestly. I could see other people being like, I'm bored, but I think it's super enjoyable. I'm really, really enjoying
superb.
It.
Superb. And like Jersey, like episode 3 already.
Oh my God. I feel like we're halfway through. It's so much. There's so much.
There's a lot going on. And then there's oh my goodness. And it's like a reunion. And I'm like, all this stuff is happening. And like.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love Bravo.
I mean. Note. Daniel Stokes, you know I die for you. You know I die for your energy. Where can people follow you online? Where can they get more of your hot takes on everything Housewives and so much more?
They can find me on Instagram at Rupert V. Baxter. Depending on the week, my page may be public or private. Literally, I had someone stalk me.
No.
Because... That whole, like, Below Deck, like, someone on Below Deck used the N-word that was white.
Oh, right.
And I basically tweeted, like, you can't, if you're not black, you can't say it. And this guy kind of got into it with me. His pinned tweet was, like, if you don't want to be known as an angry black woman, like, don't be angry at a black woman. So I knew what I was getting myself into.
Oh, God.
I basically was just, like, trolling him. And then he was just, like, my wife is black, so I can't be racist. I'm pretty sure I'm more successful than, I blocked him. He made 5 Twitter accounts to try to like engage with me. He took my t- Twitter name, which has now been changed, searched it, found my Instagram, which had my employer's name on it, reached out to my employer and said that I was racist. Thankfully, like, I worked for a very, like, they weren't idiots. They really were laughing. And they saw his pinned tweet. And they were just like, oh, like, he was actually being racist towards you. So they blocked him from having a DoorDash account.
Oh, look how that worked out.
Yeah, but it was, yeah, so I, like, yeah, I had to change, like, my social media name.
Wow, people, don't be awful on the internet or IRL. I think people forget that. Like, just practice a little game called, like, if you don't like something someone says, keep it to your fucking self. Yeah. Like, you don't have to constantly communicate with people if you disagree. It is, let's, like, actively, you know, work on our core. Like, you could do some crunch exercises, or you could, like, read something that someone says and be like, wow, I disagree with them, but you know what? I'm not going to engage with them and, like, be a twat, because I'm a grown adult and I can go read a book or go for a walk or, like, you know, drink some water. I think everybody is so thirsty these days. We absolutely must encourage hydration.
Please drink water. Smoke some weed.
Smoke some weed.
Go get laid. All those things.
Go get laid. All 2 out of 3. 1 out of 3. Whatever you got.
Three out of three would be like a fucking lottery ticket right now.
Speaking of lottery, my God, this episode, the winning. And guys, listen, if you're a Patreon supporter for Andy's Girls, you know that you're constantly cashing in on so much good content. An hour and 40-minute Patreon exclusive with Damian Bellino and Anne Rodeman talking about all things And Just Like That. There's a new episode going up, I believe, tomorrow with Ryan Houlihan, where we are deep diving Jersey and Orange County. And also, I just want to shout out Patreon.com/Andy's Girls, best destination, best way to support the pod. And I also just want to shout out two pods that I was on recently, which I had great times on, both of them. I'm Sorry, which is a podcast produced by Lemonada Media, and The Comeback with Erica Cobb. You can listen to both of those wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, both I'm Sorry and The Comeback with Erica Cobb. Just wanted to shout out both of those shows, because two really, really great episodes, talking housewives and accountability and the culture of apologies and so much more. So I highly encourage listening to them. If you haven't already, and follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Big announcement coming up about AG300. So if you're not following me on social, the number one way to do that is by looking at my shoes. Also, P.S., super sassy little shot of the apartment living room, which is adorable. It's going up on social, I think, the day of this episode, or maybe the next day. It's, like, it's real cute. I'm very excited about it. I'm very, very proud of the transformation that's been taking place thanks to Studio Piccolo. Listen, Daniel, thank you.
This was lovely. It's always lovely. You're always a divine dream.
I mean, thank you. I agree, both about me and directed towards yourself. And the next time you come, we'll record in the Clawfist.
Yeah, we need to, like,
we need an IRL. We need an IRL.
The girls will gag. They'll be like, oh,
the girls will gag. Guys, I hope you're all doing okay. We're going to just go chill and chat some more. Yes. So listen, y'all, hang in there, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.